We'll look at the tape.
Hogan Johns.
I think we got to come out hard and stay hard.
Part of Chicago's best Bears coverage.
I don't know.
Now, here they are.
They're day-to-day in my mind.
WGN Radio's very own Adam Hogue.
I'm filing.
And the Chicago Sun-Times' Adam Johns.
What an a-hole.
Hug it, chug it, football!
Welcome in, Hogan Johns, episode 88. Very special episode. Not just because we're naming it after Glenn Kozlowski, employee here at WGN Radio, who wore number 88. But, Scars,
that's back-to-back.
I know. We just went OB, now we go Koz. By the way, they're going to have a special show this Saturday on WGN Radio. Special draft show with Hamp.
Oh, boy.
So, whoever the Bears draft.
Is he going to be throwing pencils around and going silent for 30 seconds?
Yes.
Good.
Exactly. This is episode 88 of Hogan Johns. We're both here at Adam Hogue, H-O-G-E, at Adam Johns, J-A-H-N-S. I mentioned this is a special episode of the podcast because it is our annual mock draft roundtable where we simulate the first round of the draft. And to help us get this done, we brought back Eric Edholm from Yahoo Sports, who joined us last year.
It was fun. I had a good time. Thought I'd come back.
I couldn't have been that bad if you came back. So we appreciate you doing it. And a newcomer, Robert Mays from The Ringer.
Hey, guys. Hee-hee!
What's going on?
Not a lot. I expect to be treated like the newcomer. Just hazing as
that's
much as
we That's why you got
the
Bears
do.
Pick.
Exactly.
That's
what a cruel thing to introduce me to this process with.
That's what I did. If you're new.
Here's what you got to live up to. I've had the Bears pick the past 2 years, and I've been way wrong.
This is what
not
you
even close.
Who did you have last year? I don't even remember now.
Shaq Lawson.
Oh, okay. That's right. I do remember that now.
I think I picked Danny Shelton the year before.
Okay.
Obviously, it was Kevin White and Leonard Floyd.
Mm-hmm. See, Bears fans, it could be a lot worse.
I know.
Adam Johns could be the GM. Be a disaster. So here's what we're going to do. We've all been assigned our teams. We're going to go right through this. If you've heard this in past years, you know how it works. And we're going to steal picks from each other. Everyone's going to get angry, and we're all going to throw things at each other. But before we get started, a couple things I want to discuss kind of more broadly about the draft. First of all, is a little bit of breaking news as we start today, because it just got revealed that Jabril Peppers, the talented safety, linebacker, corner, whatever you want to call him out of Michigan, has a diluted sample from the NFL Combine.
Mm.
Says he was sick, drank a lot of water. Okay.
That's what I do when I'm sick.
Yeah?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Do you do that, though, if you know you have a drug test the next day?
That's the hard part. And that's the thing. I mean, I don't know. The biggest negative is that he gets entered into the drug program. He's in phase one of the drug program. And then, you know, if he fails another test, then we're thinking suspension in the NFL. So it's tough. I mean, I think he's the same player he was before this. Is it bad timing? Yeah. A couple days before the draft, I'd say so.
Yeah. Well, I had him high on my draft board.
Number seven?
Number six.
Number six.
Yeah. I think that that's enough to push him out of the first round, though. Now, you have a different theory, though, Robert.
Well, there were questions about where he was going to go, period, of like the positional stuff and everything else. There's some concerns, but I'm always a fan of drafting the weed guy.
Yeah.
I just think that they get pushed down further than they should for a reason that doesn't make any sense football-wise. I know that the way they've always framed is that this is a IQ test, the drug test at the combine.
Yeah, right.
Knowing it's coming, doing the things you need to do. But because a guy failed one drug test, it's not a reason to drop him a round or two rounds. You can usually find a guy that's a pretty good football player that teams pass on for a reason that has nothing to
Randy
do with football.
Randy Moss, Warren Sapp. Calvin Johnson was a weed, quote-unquote, weed guy. He admitted to it at the combine. So
yeah, my issue is
he turned out okay.
Yeah, he was okay.
My issue isn't so much the weed as it is just like
the awareness of the
– dumb do you have to be to screw that up when you know it's coming? And it's not just that. It's getting a DUI, any kind of – you know, arrest that happened. This is a 4-month job interview. You know, just don't be stupid for 4 months. If you can't do that, that makes me worry about you. Now, obviously, you guys brought up some really good players, and there's exceptions, and I still think Jabril Peppers is a good player. But if I'm a GM who's considering taking him number 3 overall, for instance, if I don't think the Bears are, but if that were the case, this would seriously change my mind.
Oh, absolutely. He would. Well, like Robert was saying, there's already questions about what position he could play and why he didn't intercept more passes. He had, one at Michigan? So, red flag, I don't know, for some teams, absolutely. It'll vary from organization to organization, but it does, definitely doesn't help us at draft cause whatsoever.
Mm-hmm. All right, let's jump into the mock draft. Let's get this thing going. By the way, you can read us at WGNradio.com/Bears and ChicagoSunTimes.com. Subscribe to the podcast on iTunes by searching Hogan Johns. You can find it on TuneIn. Please rate and review the podcast if you enjoy it. So, Eric Edholm.
Yeah.
You have the dubious title of being the GM of the Cleveland Browns.
Fixing the Cleveland Browns.
And may I note, too, that two of us now pick for the Cleveland Browns. You've taken the cruel step of taking the worst team with the worst owner, in my opinion, and letting us split those picks in half. So I just want to make sure.
Isn't that how they operate anyway?
Yeah, that's Cleveland. Right. Hey, who hasn't picked one yet? Yeah, yeah.
So one of you wants Myles Garrett, one of you wants Trubisky, right?
Right.
All right. Well, that said, seeing as how for at least the time being I've taken over the mantle of Kevin Costner, I am going to have to go with the pretty obvious choice. I don't know if it's the right choice. I mean, Myles Garrett seemed like the best player in college football when he was healthy. He seems like a defensive cornerstone on one of the worst defenses in the NFL. And I look around and I don't see a quarterback worth taking. I really don't. You may love Trubisky. To me, 1 year of starting and three kind of uneven games in those 13 games, I'm going Myles Garrett. That's the pick. We're turning it in. No regrets.
All right. The Browns actually make a good decision.
Sure.
That's impressive.
For now.
I have the number two pick, the San Francisco 49ers, and they need a quarterback, as you could tell by just looking at their ex-Chicago Bears draft chart, depth chart, with Brian Hoyer and Matt Barkley. Yikes.
Robbie Gould's on that team, too, now. Not a quarterback. Correct. 49er,
maybe
though.
Maybe the third stringer right now, based on what they have. But I agree with you, Eric. There's not a quarterback here I can take at number two overall. Trubisky's the only one I even think is worth taking in the first round. And I think that's more of a middle to late round pick. So, by the way, I fully realize that's not how it's going to play out Thursday night.
Yeah.
And I should reiterate to our listeners right now, I asked all of you guys to make these picks based on what you think these teams should do.
Right.
Not what you think they will do. We're not trying to get this thing perfect here. We're trying to give our own evaluations and opinions on these players and what these teams should do. So I'm going to go to number two on my own draft board. Myles Garrett was number one. Great pick, Eric.
Thank you.
I'm going with the safety, Jamal Adams, who I just think across the board, on the field, tremendous football player, can play in the box, can play outside the box. When he was asked to be more of a coverage guy 2 years ago, he did get interceptions. I think he can cover. I think you put together the leadership skills. Everything that comes out on this guy is positive, the complete package. Not necessarily what I think the 49ers will do on Thursday night, but what I think they should do in this scenario is take Jamal Adams.
I can dig it.
He can play. The guy, that thing with him is that his floor is just incredibly high.
Right.
The guy can just play football. He might never be a star just because if he's not that center field safety, the impact may be limited, but you just watch him go about his business and he can play. I mean, those are the type of players they need at this point.
The LSU staff thinks so highly of him. I mean, they rave about his influence on that team. So it's like you said, you're getting something out of him. And I know that's it's still a reach for number two, but he's going to be really good.
He tackles as opposed to Malik Hooker, who
who just makes interceptions.
It's all great, but I mean, Adams had his fair share of interceptions. It's not like Jabril Peppers. He can make plays. They're asked to do a little bit different things. You still need your safeties to come up and pop somebody.
Mm-hmm.
He does it.
Yeah. Look, he had four interceptions 2 years ago, right, when he was actually asked to do more cover stuff. Last year, he was almost like an extra linebacker most of the time. So I think he can do both. I think he can be versatile, and I think he's a good fit in that 49ers defense. All right. To the Chicago Bears, Mr. Mays, you are in charge.
All right, that's a terrifying prospect. I think that if I'm looking at where the Bears sit as a roster, I love the front seven if they can stay healthy. You make an argument for Solomon Thomas just as that other semi-interior, semi-exterior player with the rest of the guys in that group. But you look at the back end, and I feel like the corner position is such a question mark. We don't know what's going to happen with Kyle Fuller. The guys they did sign in free agency, they signed to more or less one-year deals with Marcus Cooper and Prince Amukamara. So I look at Marshawn Lattimore for Ohio State, and I feel like he checks every box physically, had production at the highest level, and he fills your need. I mean, if you can plug him into that defense and the front seven stays healthy, you suddenly have a pretty interesting group. So that's where I'm going, especially with Adams off the board and with questions about Hooker's ability to play physically in the NFL and some injury concerns as well. I think Lattimore is the right choice.
Yeah.
So this can be a question for all you guys with Lattimore. I mean, and I wrote this, you try to build a perfect cornerback prospect. I mean, he's got it in terms of size, length, speed, production, the whole package. But those hamstrings scare the hell out of me. I mean, it's not just like he had two back-to-back seasons that, okay, maybe he pulled one and then he pulled the other. You know, this is a problem that goes back to high school.
Surgery.
That he had surgery to have it fixed, and they still had to sit out the next year because it still was an issue.
Yep.
For the Bears and all the soft tissue issues they've had the last 2 years, it scares me.
That's where that would give me pause. And you think about even with Kevin White and the concerns coming in, how little they've gotten from him, that has to be in the back of your mind. I've lived that Alshon Jeffrey life before too. I mean, it's a frustrating it's a frustrating place to be. And I can't remember the last time or ever if I've heard about a guy getting surgery on his hamstring.
Yeah.
I mean, that just seems like a really serious problem. But if he passes your medical and you listen to your doctors and they're not worried about it, then I do think from a physical athletic profile standpoint and a need standpoint, he checks the boxes you need him to.
He changed his diet. He went on a new exercise regime, regimen is what I meant to say, excuse me. That seemed to help. I don't know. That's the kind of thing that keeps him healthy. He did have a hip flexor. He did have a shoulder injury, too. Maybe he's just one of those guys that, is a little banged up sometimes,
In terms of roster ability.
Great player, though.
I don't think the Bears would be scared off about drafting Lattimore or maybe a cornerback early in general, even though they spent a lot of money in free agency on the position. Look, you can never have enough cornerbacks. You use three of them half the time. Someone's always hurt. Could be Lattimore. Who knows? But just in general, if you're comparing it to what the Bears have on the roster, I don't think they'll be scared off taking a quarterback number three or early in the second round. They need that position. There's a clear need for them.
Hmm.
All right. So Robert goes with Marshawn Lattimore to the Bears. Third overall, we'll see how that pick works out for the new GM of the Chicago Bears. The old GM of the Chicago Bears, Adam Johns, who had been fired for two terrible drafts in a row.
Sorry, buddy.
You're now in charge of the Jacksonville Jaguars.
Time to mess them up, huh?
Yes, yeah.
As if they need the help. But
So you're on the clock here at number four.
A lot of the way the board kind of fell, kind of a lot of options here for the Jaguars team was kind of building a pretty good core of young defensive players. I mean, look at maybe Jonathan Allen here, Solomon Thomas here, obviously clear options, but I think I don't know if Tom Coughlin's going to change so much of the organizational philosophy. I think when you see like a Leonard Fournette there, he's going to be too sexy of a pick for them. They need, at least they're saying they're invested in Blake Bortles for the time being. Getting him a bruising running back will help. So they're going to go with the best running back on the board. At least I will, Leonard Fournette.
I think Leonard Fournette is right up there with Myles Garrett in terms of just pure, ridiculous talent in this draft.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, I wouldn't have a problem with any of these teams taking him, even if it's not, even the Bears. The Bears don't need him because they got Jordan Howard in the fifth round, and that's even just, the perfect argument against taking a running back that early because you can find a guy later. But come on, Fournette's better than Jordan Howard just in terms of pure talent.
Yeah.
So I got no problem with any team taking them.
The weird thing about Jacksonville is that if you look at their depth chart, especially on defense, it's hard to find holes in
loaded.
It. Yeah. I mean, they've used so many resources, and you go to the other side of the ball, the offensive line could use some help, but you're not doing that at four.
No.
You really, what you need is a new quarterback, but you're not going to do that either. So finding a blinking light of we need this spot isn't that easy. And Chris Ivory's contract looks awful in retrospect, by the way. And he's owed a lot of money, but that's not going to dissuade you from taking Fournette if you think he's a transformational talent.
I would hope not. And if this is the ultimate Blake Bortles, you better step up now because you have that 4 minute back and you've got that, that powerhouse. If you can't throw on second and four, then what are we doing with you? So I think that it's a good pick to help Bortles and also to see if he's going to step up.
So we move on now to the number five pick. Mm-hmm. The Tennessee Titans hold this from the Rams. This is from the Jared Goff trade last year, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So
I think the Rams are happy with that. Excuse me.
Seems like
sorry, no, I forgot the cough button. I don't know.
The Titans have to be happy with it, sitting here with two first-round picks.
Yeah. It's remarkable how far they are along as just a roster, and you just have the fifth pick now.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, guy, here's the fifth pick. I hope you enjoy it.
That's a great.
It's amazing.
That's got to be a good feeling.
Oh, yeah.
So, Eric, you have this pick.
Yep. And I'm looking to trade down if I'm the Titans, you know, because I think, you know, after 18, they don't have a second rounder, so they have to wait until the third. I suspect they'll be one of those teams on the clock that does entertain a trade down. I don't think it's going to happen at five. Who's moving up to this point unless it's maybe a quarterback? So taking over, you know, John Robinson's seat as general manager, I'm sitting here thinking, you know, I should just take the best player available. You know, we have a good situation. We're kind of playing a little bit with house money. We have some really good young talent all over the roster. We can fill needs later. I'm not really worried about that. That boils it down to two players for me, either Solomon Thomas or Malik Hooker. I think they would like Hooker better. That's my gut feeling, and I think I agree with them. And like Lattimore, you know, you're kind of looking at a one-year starter. Is he the guy? You know, I mean, the injury question, it's there. But, man, I don't know. This dude looks so good. You've got Jonathan Cyprian. He's the hitter. Let Hooker just sit back there, play half field, and just pick stuff off left and right against, you know, this is a good situation for them, I think. And I know they could use a corner. I know they could probably use other positions, but I'm going Hooker at this spot.
So let's talk about this for a second. We're through five picks, and we're not projecting trades as we go through this.
Right.
I find it very, very likely that at this point on Thursday night we will have seen a trade.
You think so? Yeah, up to two or three or
something's
going to
happen.
Yeah. Yep.
It seems like if you're the 49ers, you might entertain a trade back. Mm-hmm. If you're the Bears, you might entertain a trade back. You mentioned the Titans. We kind of think pretty strongly that the Browns, if they do take Garrett number one, will want to try to get even farther up if they can and grab Trubisky. At least that's a very real possibility.
And this could be a point for them. You got to get over the New York Jets because there's all those stories out of New York is that they love Trubisky.
Yeah.
They put him on the back page of the Post. So you would think if you're that worried about another team grabbing him, it starts with the New York Jets.
It seems like every team up in the top eight is telling everyone to listen that they love quarterbacks.
Yeah.
The 49ers are just screaming from the rooftop today.
We're
very interested
QBs.
In a quarterback. I mean, because that's what these teams want to do, especially when you think about San Francisco. The Bears are have to be in somewhat of a hurry. You know, it's not as if Ryan Pace and John Fox have an unlimited time.
I agree.
But if you look at what's happening in San Francisco, Shanahan and Lynch have six-year contracts. They're not in the least bit of a hurry. So trading down for them is hugely attractive, and it just feels like if they have a chance to get anything for that pick, they're going to try to get
it. Shanahan had a great quote like in February. He was like, you know, there's no reason to panic with our picks. Like, he's basically saying what you just said. I have a 6-year contract. Why would I panic? You know, like, why would Lynch or anybody else in the organization do it? We'll do what's smartest for the team. We'll not reach for quarterback. I think you're 100%
Brian
right.
Hoyer is literally the perfect I am not in a hurry quarterback.
Yeah, right.
There is no better one than Brian Hoyer.
I agree.
That's a good point. All right, so our top five, Myles Garrett to the Browns, Jamal Adams to the 49ers, Marshawn Lattimore to the Bears, Leonard Fournette to the Jaguars, and Malik Hooker to the Titans. So that gets us to the New York Jets at number six. I have this pick, and maybe this is our first curveball of the mock draft.
Uh-oh.
Here. Look, I think there's, with Trubisky still on the board, I think there's a decent chance maybe they would look that route. Quarterback is a big need for them. But I'm sticking to what I would do here. And while Trubisky is the one quarterback I'd be willing to take in the first round, I still don't know that I would go this high. And there's still Solomon Thomas sitting out there. I don't know that that's the biggest need for the Jets.
Mm-hmm.
And there's also an offensive player that I absolutely love, that I seem to love more than others. Other people say, okay, it's not, you don't have to go this high with this position. But I love O.J. Howard.
I knew it. I knew it.
And I think he's going to be a tremendous football player at the next level. He's got Greg Olsen-type receiving skills at the position, and he's already a better blocker. So with that being a position in need for the Jets, I think it's a great pick for them at this spot. So I'm going with O.J. Howard at number six.
Can you imagine, though, you know, a Jets fan sitting there thinking, we need a quarterback. We need to replace Revis at corner. We need this. We need that. We're taking a tight end. We're going with, like, the, you know, Dustin Keller, Kyle Brady, you know, whatever, every other failed tight end they've had. I mean, I'm just saying, that's going to be the immediate reaction to
and
every.
And Philadelphia is close enough that
they'll
can
there.
Still boo the
oh,
hell out of
they're going to boo
the
anyway.
You'll
right?
hear them from New York.
All right, so that gets us to the Los Angeles Chargers. Robert Mays, you lived in L.A.
I did, and hearing Los Angeles Chargers is still bizarre. I'm going to say San Diego for the next 30 seconds, I promise you.
Well, first, how are they going to support two teams there?
I have no idea.
What is
the
NFL
doing?
Do you know
how hard it is to get anybody in NFL or in Los Angeles to do anything?
Yeah.
There are 10 million things to do, and they're all great, and it's beautiful outside every day.
Yeah.
I'm going to drive to wherever that stadium is, a 20,000-seat place in, I don't even know where it is.
Carson?
Wherever it is.
Yeah,
it's too far away for me to care. That's all I'm saying. So I have no idea how they're going to get people there. But looking at this roster, the defense outperformed anything anyone could have thought last year. They were a really solid group, and that was with what I would say going into the season was their best player, Jason Verrett, not even playing very much.
Mm-hmm.
Safety is a spot that I would have looked at if those two guys weren't off the board. Now that they are, and I'm starting to realize how frustrating this process is, I have to go somewhere else. And Solomon Thomas is just sitting there.
Mm-hmm.
And Melvin Ingram is a player who's excellent on the edge, but he's on the franchise tag. It's a one-year proposition. Gus Bradley's coming in as a defensive coordinator there. You need guys that fit more of that 4-3 style. And when I look at Solomon Thomas, the guy that I see is Michael Bennett.
Mm-hmm.
He's a 275-pound offensive lineman who can play left defensive end in a 4-3 in early downs, and slide inside on nickel downs. And that's the type of movable piece they don't have on this roster right now. So you had him with Joey Bosa, and you have Corey Legit and Melvin Ingram there.
It's
you suddenly
bad.
Get to a spot on third down with, you know, third and six with all those guys out there, becomes a pretty terrifying proposition.
Yeah. I like that pick. And I like Solomon Thomas, mm-hmm. Even higher than number 7 in this draft. I think in, the Bears, that would have been a great pick at number 3 too. So that's pretty good value, I think, for the Chargers to grab him with Joey Bosa already on that defense there. So that pick makes a lot of sense to me. All right, moving on to Adam Johns. Number 8, the Carolina Panthers.
Bad year for my Panthers last year, coming off a Super Bowl defeat. So,
but you get a top 10 pick now.
You get a top 10. Do you really want that if you're coming off a Super Bowl year?
Well, it's not a bad consolation prize. Well,
I think it's pretty awful, but I know what you're saying. you disappointed a lot of people. So I'm really buying the buzz between them and Christian McCaffrey. I just looked it up again to make sure it's real. I mean, their GM's talking about him. People from the organization are actually on the record talking about this kid. I think he's more than, like, I know there's some stigmas about him being a white running back and overcoming some of those things. But this guy not by you whatsoever. This guy could do so much.
Yeah.
He's your first kick returner already. He can line up in the slot. He's already probably your best slot receiver. He could do so many different things. He'd be great for Cam Newton, a great weapon to have, Christian McCaffrey.
So the one thing I can't get out of my head with Christian McCaffrey is, you guys know I do sidelines for Northwestern football. And they had a really good defense 2 years ago. But they completely shut him down. Completely. Like, the guy wasn't even visible in that game. And so maybe that's, like, bias for me, just because that's the one time I saw him in person up close. But I just can't get over that. It's like,
they held Corey Davis in check, too. I mean, you know what I mean?
Like, they've had some time. It's a good defense. I mean, that's a legitimate defense, and it's tough. But I'm just, if they got that shut down by Northwestern, I just worry. I just think there's such a big gap between him and Leonard Fournette, in my opinion, just as pure talented running backs.
I kind of see him as like a – I see him more as a slot receiver almost, you know what I mean?
That's the thing. I feel like he defies positions, so determining
that's
his value is tough.
Oh, yeah.
It's a good thing.
I think it enhances his value.
I totally agree. Yeah. I think it helps him. Yeah. If you think about that Carolina team, when's the last time Cam Newton had a shifty middle of the field receiver? They have two giants on the outside. Mm-hmm.
Steve
Olsen.
Smith was the last one.
I mean, and he's even an outside the numbers guy for the most part.
Yep.
And having McCaffrey be able to do that, I think, is really interesting. As a between the tackles runner, he worries me. You know, the anything about him being white, and he's not slow by any means, but he weighs 200 pounds.
Yeah, the size. Yeah.
So, but if you can use him as a receiver, everything else, I think he's really comfortable out of the shotgun, which Carolina does almost every single play.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a ton of ways you can use him. I think it makes perfect sense.
I talked to a guy who coached Charlie Garner.
Yeah.
And you guys remember him? I mean, he just said he's like, I feel like I'm looking at him because he's – now, Garner had like 3 or 4 big years and then kind of injuries and different things. But, like, that's – you remember how dangerous they were with Gannon and Garner. I mean, it's the same offense almost, And then I think that could really make them special.
Did you talk to Mark Trestman?
No, I'm not saying that. That's the second time I missed the cough button. I'm rattled here.
I just think you have to account for McCaffrey in so many different ways.
Yeah.
And he creates mismatches almost immediately. I mean, you line them up in the backfield, you run them out to the slot or even past your a receiver.
Yeah.
And a linebacker has to follow him. It's troubling for defenses.
He was running slant and goes at his pro day that looked better than 95% of the receivers in this draft. I mean, it was unbelievable how sharp his cuts were. He looks good.
He's much smaller, but I think the guy that you have to envision when you're thinking about his ceiling is Le'Veon Bell. I mean, I think if he can become a guy that can go line up as a receiver, just lives with vision and really making your offensive line better in the process, that's where if you take him eighth overall, you have to expect that kind of return.
Mm-hmm. All right, so from Carolina to Cincinnati, the Bengals have the ninth overall pick. Eric, at home, this is your pick.
Yeah, I mean, right, and, you know, kind of like what Robert was saying with, like, the weed guys, like, character is out the window for us. Like, we don't care about that sort of stuff. But I'm actually going with
overrated.
I'm actually going with a high character guy here, I think. I mean, everything I've heard about him has been terrific. But, no, I the Bengals every year, they just seem to sort of let the draft come to them, and they get pretty talented guys for the most part. To me, it's a little bit of an overlap with maybe their best defensive player, but I like him so much, and I'm not as worried about the medical stuff as other people seem to be. I'm going Jonathan Allen here. I just think he's that good. And you can't tell me you can't find a way to line up Geno Atkins and Jonathan Allen in the same defense and just, you know, go after Ben Roethlisberger or whoever. I mean, I don't know. I think too many teams worry about, oh, well, he's sort of similar to the guy we have. Look, a creative coach will find a way. I'm not worried about that. And so, you know, and Geno's, you know, he's getting up there. He's going to be 30 pretty soon. And I think you got to find a solution for getting to the passer. They just didn't have last year. So I know they like big defensive ends. I know they could probably take a wide receiver at some point, corner. To me, Allen just makes a lot of sense. I think he's the best interior rusher in this group. And I would say even better in some respects than Solomon Thomas, although Thomas may be a little more versatile.
It seems like Allen can play through whatever issues he has.
He may not play 12 years.
That's the thing. Yeah. I think it's more of
a
longevity
thing. I don't know.
I was talking to Duke Tobin this weekend, actually, about a separate story. And just when he's the director of play personnel. He's somebody that not a lot of casual NFL fans know because he's
awesome.
Not the GM. Yeah. But he's a very smart football person. And they love big-time production at big schools.
Absolutely.
That is the number one thing they look at. Did you win in a very big place?
Yep.
And in Allen's case, winning is production. And that's what they want. You think about Cedric Abui. You think about all those guys they've taken. Alabama guys. You know, they love players that have really put on a show on those biggest stages. And that's exactly what Jonathan
they've
Allen
drafted is. A bunch of Alabama guys. Yep. Duke says, I always try to go to their pro day. I mean, that's right in their wheelhouse.
It's just it's interesting to me how it seems like Solomon Thomas has passed Jonathan Allen as the number one defensive lineman in this draft.
Jonathan Allen did not test well. Yeah. And I feel like that's my number one concern with
Cincinnati. I worry he's maxed out.
That's
like he's already close to the ceiling.
And that's what you have to worry about is his floor is probably pretty high. But what I'd be worried about with him going to Cincinnati, you look at that Cincinnati defense, and they have a lot of solid players, mm-hmm. but no explosion whatsoever.
Yeah.
Especially in the front seven. Outside of Geno, they don't have anybody that's twitchy. And you get Allen as a good player, but I think that's what teams are worried about as much as the shoulders, is he's just not that twitchy guy.
That's true. Yeah, his testing, some of those numbers were in the bottom 20-30%.
Yeah. All right, so we move on from Cincinnati to Buffalo.
I'm not feeling good about my pick. Can we redo that one?
Just talked you out of it. Nope, it was submitted. I wonder how many times that happens, like 5 minutes after.
Instant regret.
I get it happens all the time. All the time.
Why'd I
do
that? I totally panicked. all right, so the Buffalo Bills here. I'm getting close to Trubisky territory here in my mind. I still can't go there, though, because there's another player who I just like a lot more. And, okay, they have Cordy Glenn at left tackle. You know who the right tackle is?
It's the Alabama kid, Quanjo,
it's Jordan
right?
Mills.
It's Jordan Mills. That guy got found. Not Jordan Mills. The other guy got found in a field naked the other
naked,
day.
Right?
To be fair, that's also how I would spend my time in Western New York.
Right.
So I can't really fault the guy for that.
Well, yeah. I mean, you know, all these guys sort of dropping dirty with the diluted samples. Yeah. Synthetic weed is so awesome, you guys.
Well, another guy. Speaking of all that, Chantrell Henderson's also on this depth chart.
That's right. Yeah.
So a lot of problems here.
That's a good point. A
lot of problems here at the tackle position in my mind. And Ryan Ramczyk from Wisconsin is just a solid.
Oh, I went Ken Robinson. I was aiming towards Cam Robinson. I like it.
I'm going Ramchek here. I mean, he's another one of these one-year wonders, and there are a lot of one-year wonders in this draft right now. But this is a dude that is just, if you watched him last season, just solid across the board. Didn't make a lot of mistakes. Footwork's already polished for the NFL level. Maybe not the most athletic left tackle we've ever seen, but athletic enough to pull and make plays on the edge. So I think this would be a good, solid pick for the Bills, who I believe need another offensive tackle. Now, I think Ramchek's good enough to play left tackle. That's not necessarily what they need, so maybe they have to play on the right side. But there's no. I think it's okay to have two very good left tackles.
I like that he was a Division III player. Mm-hmm. He kind of worked his way up. You know, it's that teams identify with that. Guys who are, here's a football word, ascending, right?
Yeah,
they're,
right.
They're on the way up. They keep improving, and they have the demeanor and the willingness to put in the work to get better.
He started like a tech college.
Yeah.
It's crazy to
play
think.
Football. I mean, that was the thing.
Yeah, he got offered by Paul Christ at Pitt.
Right.
But he didn't want to go that far.
Right,
and there was obviously an issue about whether or not he wanted to play football, which is probably going to have some teams wondering.
Yep.
You know, you just change your mind all of a sudden? Are you going to change your mind again? Because that would be concerning, especially as we see more and more guys all of a sudden drop out of the league.
When we see recent history often plays a part in every draft. And when you look at what happened last year with Tennessee getting Conklin at that back end of the top 10 and how quickly he solidified what they wanted to do. Yeah. If you're Buffalo, in the back of your mind, you have to be thinking, what if we do the same thing? Just get a guy who's not spectacular but is going to make us better right away.
Yeah.
And I feel like that teams, they does dictate some of their thinking.
And you're drafting a guy from a pro-style offense. Yep. Mm-hmm. That there is no, you know, he's not in the – his fundamentals are sound. You don't have to teach him how to get in a stance and do certain things.
Yeah, Paul Chris has good NFL connections too. And people trust him, I think. Yep.
Yeah. All right, so the Bills take Ryan Ramchek at number 10. We move on to number 11 and the New Orleans Saints, Robert Mays.
I think you have to go defense here. You know, they made some signings again this offseason to help their offense. That line is, I mean, it's a top three or four group in the entire league. They get rid of Brandon Cooks, but they did that because they feel comfortable with the guys they have. It makes sense that they think they're set on that side. And when I look at their depth chart overall, they could use some secondary help at corner, but the spot opposite Cam Jordan, I just think, is a place where they really need some talent. They really need a guy they can rely on. And in my mind, that's Derek Barnett from Tennessee.
Mm.
I just think that Barnett is a guy who was so consistent at Tennessee, a ton of production, is very good against the run. He's not overly tall, but he's very stout. So if you can just put him at that left side and complement Jordan with a pass-rushing guy, I think his ceiling is pretty defined. You know, you look at his testing numbers, they don't blow you away. But excellent three-cone, really good flexibility. It's what you want out of an edge rusher that you just know what you're getting out of him. That's where I'm going with it.
Is it just me? Look, and I know this is a pretty good year for edge rushers, but where's the attention that this guy is getting? I don't. It's always just Myles Garrett that. You know, Warren Sapp's talking about Myles Garrett. Where's the love for Derek Barnett?
He's had 10-plus sacks every year.
He showed up at Tennessee as a true freshman. This is the SEC.
Yeah.
And he posted 20.5 tackles for loss and 10 sacks right away.
Yep.
The concern to me is that we've looked over the last 5 years, and you see some of the guys who've done something similar.
Yep.
The guy that, if I'm playing devil's advocate against Derek Barnett, that I'm bringing up every time is Jarvis Jones. Think about what Jarvis Jones did at Georgia. He was a dominant player.
Oh,
he was
the
player of the year defensively at Georgia 2 years in a row in the SEC. He goes to Pittsburgh after just being terrible at the combine and does absolutely nothing.
Yep.
I think teams are leaning more and more on those spark scores, on athleticism, especially in the secondary and on the edge. And if you don't hit those benchmarks, it worries teams. So that's probably why he's not getting as much attention as he should, based on what he managed to do with Tennessee.
He reminds me a little of Derek Morgan from the Titans. Like, he's never going to blow you away, but he's just going to consistently grind away at an offense and be that disruptor. I like him. I think he's a good player.
All right, so Derek Barnett, number 11 to the New Orleans Saints. So we get to the other half of the Cleveland Browns brain trust here.
And, oh, Eric, my friend, my colleague in building the Browns, did we play this board right?
I'm loving what's on there.
But today,
there's a 0% chance this happens.
Make a pick, son.
We're going with your guy, Mitch.
Yep.
Mitchell Trubisky. If this is how it falls, it's become such an easy decision. You got Myles Garrett. You have teams that passed on possibly the best quarterback in the draft. You need a quarterback. It's not Brock Osweiler. Get your Trubisky.
This is where not simulating trades here probably gets us in on not being 100% accurate. But again, that's not what we're, you know, trying to be here. We're just trying to break this thing down, because I'd have to imagine at some point here, and maybe even it's the Browns who are forced to trade up to make this pick.
Well, I don't see him lasting past this pick in general. I'm like this
well,
is
all.
This is
yeah.
it.
Absolutely.
For him,
this should be the last spot.
Yes.
Yeah.
If you look at some of the best drafts in recent memory, the way they've broken the best possible way they could have, I think of Cincinnati in 2011, where they got Green at 4 and Dalton in the second round. Mm-hmm. Think about Oakland when they got Mack at 5 and Carr in the second round. This is essentially just a pumped-up version of that.
Yeah.
You get your game-changing Hall of Fame-level talent early, and you get your quarterback with not that first pick. So you got to use it on the right player, and you also got your guy. Their pick just happens to be at 12 instead of 34.
It's Justin Gilbert and Johnny Manziel all over again.
Yeah, exactly.
You know?
Right?
I mean, it's perfect. It's brilliant.
Oh, man, that was...
Sorry, I didn't mean to send a chill through the
Browns
room.
The Browns fans are...
If they
sure
end up with
that.
Miles Garrett and Mitch Trubisky and they both suck... Then it's just over.
We should just stop football in Cleveland. Disband the franchise. Right.
Sorry, you had a
going.
Good second chance, and it's not going to work out, Cleveland.
Oh, God.
Sorry, we're moving your team to, I don't know, wherever else the NFL
Oakland.
Wants
to.
Yeah. Oakland.
Yeah.
All right, so the Arizona Cardinals are next at number 13, Eric.
All right, well, you know, I mean, Cardinals, we need an offensive tackle. You know, we need a cornerback because, I mean, look, you know, you guys get to have Marcus Cooper now and Bears, that is. You know, we have all these needs, but forget needs. We're going with the rocket-armed media darling, and we're going with Patrick Mahomes. And I don't care what anyone says.
Wow.
The rumors going around Arizona are that Bruce Arians has sort of found a little bit more zest lately and maybe more into this long term than just another year or so. So who knows? Those things change. Health changes, that sort of thing. But if I can get Bruce Arians 3 years with this guy, and I think he just falls in love with the arm and says, we'll make him into something. We'll tone down that you know, that Farvian DNA he's got or whatever. And we'll make him into something because Carson Palmer's not going to play beyond this year, I don't think. So
that's the thing, though, right? It's with Mahomes, you don't need – in Arians' offense, you don't need to tone it down that much.
No, that's true.
I mean
if there's an offense that fits, exactly.
There's such a great fit of just mentality between what Mahomes wants to be and what Arians wants from his quarterback.
Yeah.
So it really is nice. And there are some mechanical stuff, things you need to tweak.
Oh, yeah.
But that's why you get that year or
Absolutely.
Two with Carson Palmer. It makes sense.
We thrust these guys into the starting role way too soon, whether it's Blaine Gabbert or Christian Ponder, whoever, any of these guys who have failed out. I don't know. I mean, maybe these guys just stink in general. But there are plenty of examples. If you get that 1 year, whether it's Trubisky or Mahomes or whoever, it can really make a difference. So we're going, you know, it's tough because you got Fitzgerald and Palmer. You may not have much left of them, but I still want to think about tomorrow. Because I'm a Fleetwood Mac fan? I don't know. It just came out. I don't.
All right, so Patrick Mahomes.
Sure.
That would be a, certainly one of the headlining picks if he goes number 13.
That's what I'm here for.
Arizona Cardinals. I like it. All right, so now we move to number 14, the Sam Bradford trade. Got the Philadelphia Eagles, their first-round pick back. What an unbelievable steal that was. And they get this pick from the Vikings. So I have this one here, number 14. And there's a wide receiver out there that I love. His name's Mike Williams. Mm. But I also look at these Eagles depth chart. And they just signed Alshon Jeffery. It's a one-year deal. But, you know, they have guys here like Torrey Smith and Jordan Matthews. And there's a corner that's still sitting out there that I also like. And I like him so much that because of the injuries with Marshawn Lattimore, I'd almost prefer to take Gerrion Conley above Lattimore, as crazy as that might sound. The fact he's still out there and the Eagles definitely need a corner, I am going to take Gerrion Conley at number 14.
He seems like a top 10 talent to me. You know what I mean? Like, I feel like he's sort of slipping through some cracks and stuff. I mean, it's crazy.
The short area quickness isn't on the level of Lattimore,
right,
which is why everyone loves Lattimore, and they should love Lattimore.
So that would be... three Ohio State defensive backs in the first 14 picks.
Sure.
Which is very possible.
Isn't that kind of disconcerting, though, in a sense, too? Like,
and two of the three didn't start before last season?
Exactly. I've had conversations with people in the league about, like, Alabama, trying to figure out, like, who's the guy who really makes this all tick? Who's the guy, really, who's going to ascend at the next level? You know, you got like Jonathan Allen, then you got Tim Williams, and Ryan Anderson, Reuben Foster, Marlon Humphrey. You got all these superstars and first round guys. And same with Ohio State. Three secondary members of their secondary going the first 14 picks. You think one of them's not going to pan out, maybe two. It's kind of a crapshoot. I know they're all exceptional talents. I know they have a lot of things that will translate to the NFL, but you have to wonder, like, who's really the guy in that secondary?
Well, the question is, how much does a guy, like having a guy like Malik Hooker as the center fielder, help a Gary Conley? Help
or the pass rush. Yeah.
Exactly. Right. So detaching what these guys are independently of each other is difficult, and that's why we're not NFL GMs and why doing this job is so very, very hard.
So 14 picks in here. We'll pick up the speed a little bit. Otherwise, this will last as long as the first round will last on Thursday night. But we got the Indianapolis Colts sitting here at number 15, Robert Mays.
There's a no doubt about it for me, and that's Reuben Foster.
Okay.
I think if what you've looked at all of Chris Ballard's moves and what he's tried to add to that defense, you signed Jabal Sheard, signed John Simon, you get Jonathan Hankins, I like Henry Anderson. Putting Reuben Foster in the middle of that defense gives you an identity and an attitude immediately. It's a position they've really struggled to fill. Jarrell Freeman was fine, but they need somebody in the middle that's really going to bring this is who we are every single day, and that's exactly what Reuben Foster would do.
You do love the weed, guys.
That's I'm in, man.
Oh, I'm sorry, the diluted sample guys. We gotta change our wording there. Separate question, though. Do you guys think Foster goes in the first round?
After everything that's happened,
you still think he does?
I'd take him. I mean, if you need a guy at that spot, he's perfect. I understand positional value in that inside linebackers aren't what they've been, but if you think he can transform who you are from day one just as an attitude, I feel like you have to do it. I don't know if any team needs that more than Indianapolis does.
That's a good point.
I like what Chris Ballard done so far already.
I think he's done a great job.
Yeah. All right, Baltimore Ravens at number 16, Adam Johns.
Yeah, they need help for, or we need help for Joe Flacco, I think.
Okay.
And I think this is a perfect landing spot to take the first receiver off the board. So let's go with the local kid, at least from the Chicago area, not Baltimore, but Corey Davis. I think I am concerned about his lack of everything during this whole draft process, right? Sure, he could visit with teams, but and I know he's just sharing a video of himself running, but I still think the tape says he's going to be something very, very good, maybe something special. You just lost Steve Smith to retirement. You need some offensive firepower. Corey Davis.
Corey Davis should have been playing in the Big Ten. He was that good, and I think if he had done what he did in the MAC against the Big Ten opponents, then he, you know, would be probably
just so easy
top 10 pick. The thing is, he did have a lot of Big Ten tape. He played Michigan State. He played Northwestern. He played Illinois. He played Wisconsin. And he played all his teams pretty well. The only one he struggled against was Ohio State 2 years ago. So there
all those defensive backs picks right before him.
There's plenty of good tape on Corey Davis against good teams. And what I love, too, about him is he showed up kind of like Derek Barnett, what he did as a freshman. He showed up at Western Michigan, where if you just look at him, you should say you should dominate the MAC. And he pretty much did right away. 67 catches, 941 yards, and 6 touchdowns as a true freshman. He only got better every single year. So that's encouraging to me.
He smells the end zone, boy. And in like 6 different ways. You can get it to him as a mismatch physically against some corners. But I saw so many plays where he caught the ball on the 3, and in his mind it was like, nope, I'm in. There's nothing you can do to stop me from getting this. And I love that about receivers.
He reminds me of Brandon Marshall.
Yep.
The way he plays.
Not as big, but I agree. Right. Yeah, yeah, he's
He can
right
go
there.
Up and get it when he needs to, but he is just tough as hell with the football in his hands. And you don't question what he does on the football field. All right, number 17, Washington now on the clock. Eric at home.
It turns out I actually am Scott McLuhan's replacement. So I'm the actual GM of the Washington Redskins.
So you're breaking it here. You're with the first people to find out.
I kind of forgot, like, they don't have a GM.
I know, right? Bruce Allen is the dream come true.
So is Mike Mayock really making this pick on Thursday, and then, like, on Sunday he'll get hired officially?
God, you were good. You read my mind. I was actually going to say, like, at this point, cause it's funny because, like, you match up their needs and who's available, and you're like, if you hadn't taken Foster, that was going to be my pick. I was going to take Reuben Foster here, and I was just going to say, forget it. We're going with the best talent, whatever. Looking at who Mayock has, not even joking, and kind of thinking about what they could need, I'm going to go a little different direction you've probably seen on mock drafts here, and I'm going to go Cam Robinson. I actually think Cam Robinson is pretty darn good, and I feel like I undervalued him a little bit. He's annoying to watch in certain respects. He commits penalties, and he just doesn't dominate the way you expect him to, but he's actually pretty darn good. You know, an offensive lineman may not be exactly what they need, but they, you know, Morgan Moses isn't exactly, like, dominating at right tackle. Put him there, I'd feel pretty good about it. You know, maybe Trent is on the way down in a couple years. I think I'm all right with this pick. I know it's probably a little earlier than some people expect, but that's where I'm at right now.
Like, okay.
Yeah.
All right, so Washington goes with Cam Robinson and addresses their offensive line. Okay, so Tennessee Titans back on the clock here at number 18. I have this pick, and we addressed the secondary early on with Malik Hooker at number 5. So I'm going to look offense now, and I'm going to get Marcus Mariota a guy to throw the football to, because this gets back to what I did with the Buffalo Bills. When I see a not-so-good ex-Bear on the depth chart, you know, anywhere on the first or second team. You know who's on the second team right now, a wide receiver for the Tennessee Titans?
Tajae Sharp and
Eric Weems.
Oh, Eric Weems.
Really?
I mean, I don't think they expect him to play wide receiver. I'd hope not. But
I love Eric. He's
but
great.
That's how it's listed right now. So that tells me if Mike Williams is still on the board here, and that's what's going on right now in Tennessee, and you have a quarterback like Marcus Mariota, that is an unbelievable pick for Tennessee at number 18. So that's where I'm going.
I would freak out. Yeah, I would be so happy that they need somebody like him so badly because they have nothing down the field. What Mike Williams does is he erases your quarterback's mistakes. No matter where he throws the ball, Mike Williams goes and gets it, and they have nothing like that.
By the way, he erased
him at 5.
Yeah, no, he erased a lot of Deshaun Watson's mistakes.
Exactly right.
I was going to say that. Yeah. They don't win the national championship if Mike Williams isn't playing
lights
out.
He was
a
monster.
Oh, yeah. Man,
yep.
Fantastic.
Him and Gallman were, they were both great. Yep.
All right, so Williams goes number 18. Tampa Bay is now on the clock at number 19.
There's so many different ways they could go here. And the one guy, he's not going to last until this point, but somebody I was thinking about was if McCaffrey happened to be there, just as an offensive movable piece.
Oh, yeah.
Because they need a little diversification in their skill sets. That's also why if O.J. Howard happened to be around, guys will probably be gone. I thought about Barnett here. He's obviously gone. The two guys that I was between are David Njoku from Miami, because I do think they need a middle-of-the-field receiving option, and Charles Harris from Missouri. They have had such a wasteland at edge rusher ever since they let Michael Bennett walk for absolutely no reason.
Crazy.
They just haven't had a guy at that spot. And Robert Ayers is a fine stopgap. Who knows about Noah Spence? I think if Charles Harris is there and you can throw him in as another edge option, he's the type of player I would like.
Almost took him to the Redskins. He was the second pick next to. Yeah, I almost took Charles Harris there. Yep.
You would take your Mizzou guy.
Well, I'm, you know.
I am also a Mizzou guy.
Oh, so. Well, I didn't know that. So
wouldn't get these two.
You guys take your Mizzou guy then.
I mean, you look at what Mizzou edge rushers in the NFL right now. It's not a bad group of players, man. I mean, Shane Ray can play. And Marcus Golden can play. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's pretty decent amount of them have panned out okay.
I should talk. I took Ryan Ramczyk earlier.
We always come back to our roots.
I don't have anybody from St. Norbert's in here.
No.
I'm going to have a hard time justifying.
But you did say you liked Ryan Ramczyk because he was D3.
D3 football guy right here.
Yeah. Did you say you went to St. Norbert's?
Yes.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I have a friend who went there. That's really interesting. Not really interesting.
Yeah, I was going to say. Great story. Yeah.
Fun school, small
compelling
school.
Compelling and rich. All right. Denver Broncos.
Super interesting.
Number 20, Adam Johns. Got any D3 players?
No. I'm going Garrett Bowles.
Junior college. He was,
Look, I think I know what I was saying earlier about, you know, adjustments for tackles in this game, but you still talk to some people around this league, and it's such a thin class of offensive tackles, and I feel like every story I've read about the Broncos over the past year is just pass protection problems and the tackle. Michael Schofield always comes up. Maybe I recognize his name because he's a local guy from around here, but they're always trying to find answers for their offensive line. They invested a first round pick last year in a quarterback in Paxton Lynch. You're going to have to protect him, so why not get at least the best offensive tackle who's on your board right now?
All right, so Garrett Bowles comes off and goes to Denver. at number 20. This puts the Detroit Lions on the clock now at number 21. Eric?
Yeah, I mean, this is sort of a scary proposition because, you know, they used the 10th pick on Eric Ebron a few years ago. And, you know, I mean, I don't think he's a terrible football player. He's just clearly not exactly what they need. But they seem to be dropping hints that they very well could take a tight end. I know we've heard pass rusher because they – I mean, Kerry Hyder was maybe their best pass rusher at one point. So I can't quite find the guy I'm looking for. I'm looking down the list, and nobody is just sort of popping off the list. The only one I could maybe consider is Haason Reddick. So it's between Joku and Reddick. I guess my temptation might be to say Reddick, but in that defense, he's a stand-up linebacker. Like, he's not – you better be darn sure he can, like, drop and do different things that a 4-3 linebacker would do. So I guess I'm taking this pick with a little reservation and saying that I don't think Haason Reddick will probably be here at this point, so it'll be kind of a nice pick. But, you know, 237 or 8 pounds as an end, I don't think so anyway. So it's risky, but I'm still going to take Reddick at this point and say – just find a way to let him, you know, tear after the passer a little bit.
You lost that element of your defense when DeAndre Levy fell off the cliff.
I mean,
you don't have that guy anymore that gives some explosion, movement at that level. And adding a guy that can do that, even if it is a projection, you need that influx of talent. I think that consider what Jamie Collins is.
Yeah, I was just going to say Jamie Collins.
You know, no one's complaining that Jamie Collins does too many things.
Right.
It's not a problem.
Yep.
Yeah. So, yeah, it's an interesting fit there, but I love guys that win every step of the pre-draft process. J.J. Watt did. J.J. Watt won every single thing he could have done before the draft, and he aced it, and that's what Haason Reddick has done. Yep. And I still go back to those practices in Mobile and the way he dropped in the coverage during drills.
It was like
he'd been doing it for years.
I know.
And he hadn't been. So you find a way to get him in your defense and make it work. So I don't hate the pick. All right. Miami Dolphins at number 22 now, and we're going to circle back to a guy we talked about earlier that I admitted I love a lot, and you know what? I guess I got to go with the diluted sample guy here because Jabril Peppers is still out there. They need a safety. I think he's a guy you can plug in that defense somewhere. You look at the concerns about, okay, where does he play? He only had one interception. I still look at the ball skills. The one interception he did –
it was off a tip, right?
It was off a tip, but it was an incredible catch.
It was.
I keep seeing it written that, oh, is it tip ball? Yeah, but it got tipped like way
behind
over
him,
his head, and he made an incredible grab. It was impressive. But also, it gives you return ability. I just like Jabril Peppers. I think he's going to be a good player.
Here's what I don't understand about the Jabril Peppers interception situation. How many times do we bring up what linebackers' interception totals are before the draft? He wasn't a safety in college.
Yeah.
Why do we care how many interceptions he
had?
He
was like a slot
it
corner
no
and a linebacker.
Sense to me.
Yeah.
He was always in the box.
Yep.
And what I like, though, is when you go back and see the times where he wasn't necessarily in the box, you know, he was still playing good football.
Mm-hmm.
And you can't control whether or not the ball comes your way, you know, in those limited snaps you got doing that. So I think he's a safety at the next level. I think he's going to be a good player. And I'll find a way to plug him in my defense.
Mm-hmm.
And if I'm Adam Gase, I look hard into this diluted sample situation. But like you guys said, if a guy can play, he can play.
Well, they took what's his name last year?
Larry
Mutombo.
Yes, Long. Larry Mutombo. This is nothing. That happened like literally during the draft.
I was thinking Jakeenan Grant.
Yeah, if you could survive the hit of that, Jabril Peppers is nothing.
You talk about a diluted sample.
What do you mean a hit?
Carpet, baby.
That is still one of those bizarre. That's got to be the most bizarre thing that's happened.
I had an editor send it to me, you know, in Slack while it was going on. I was so tired at that point. I'm looking forward, like, what am I watching? Like, how old is this? You know, oh, God.
Okay. All right. Yeah, that makes me feel even better. Thank you. Adam Gase will go with diluted sample instead of gas mask dude this year. All right, New York Giants on the clock in number 23, Robert.
You look at what happened with their defense last year. They plugged so many holes through free agency. They did a great job just getting instantly better. I think their Football Outsiders DVOA jumped from 30 to 2 in one season. It's remarkable. And they obviously lose Jonathan Hankins, so that's a loss. But for the most part, they're set over there. If I'm looking at this team, I think the number one thing that jumps out to me is the offensive line. You know, John Jerry is exciting no one. Bobby Hart is their right tackle. They signed DJ Fluker for almost nothing. So it's not as if they gave him a ton of money. I think it's Forrest Lamp. You know, the guy from Western Kentucky was pretty much the best guard available in this draft, and that's where they need him. You plug him in next to Weston Richburg, and I think suddenly that Pugh-Richburg-Lamp interior can give you a really solid foundation of an offensive line.
I like Forrest Lamp a lot out of Western Kentucky, and I agree. I think he's similar to Cody Whitehair in that he can come in and just play.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's just going to be a player right away, so... solid pick there. We go to the Oakland Raiders now, the soon-to-be Las Vegas Raiders. Did I see that they're going to, like, have their draft party in Vegas?
Oh, I think you're right. I think
they're doing
something
in Vegas.
Yeah, I didn't know if it was, like, their official party or what. That's kind of wild.
They haven't spit on the fans in Oakland enough, so they're really trying to...
What is an awkward situation? Because, like... You have to build up your new fan base.
Come fly United and come down and...
I mean, it's really like breaking up with your girlfriend or getting a divorce and living there for 2 more years.
Yeah, and, yeah, inviting her to the wedding.
It's
yeah.
unbelievable. I mean, living with someone you broke up with for 2 years can't go well.
And you're going to be a good guy because the Raiders are going to be a good team. So
right.
You're going to do the
yeah, exactly.
You're just gonna be the best guy there is. Yeah.
Well, you've got a lease. You know what that means.
Yeah. I'll make dinner, honey. You know. I don't... I think when the Raiders step to the podium, they'll know what the Marshawn Lynch situation is going to be. I don't know what the news of today is, but, I mean, obviously it sounds – go either way on them, but when you have this much traction, mate, obviously things are going to come to fruition here. So I do see running back as a need, but they need help in the secondary. I think they spent – we spent a lot of money on the secondary at cornerback not too long ago. It didn't work out for us. Let's get a young kid in. You got Marlon Humphrey from Alabama.
Good pick.
Why not?
All right, Marlon Humphrey from Alabama. I have a feeling he's, going to go earlier than people have kind of been suggesting.
You know, I put him 27th in my mock, and I went, man, I don't know that that's right. I think you're right. He could go 20th. That wouldn't shock me.
So that pick makes sense. All right, so at number 25, the Houston Texans desperately need a quarterback, GM Eric Edholm.
I'm going to take Deshaun Watson, if you guys know his body of work. I mean, it, you know, like we've said a few times with a few other picks, like it almost feels not preordained or anything, but like, could he really just fall to them? I mean, and could Bill O'Brien just sit there and say, all right, that's my next, you know, project? Look, there are no perfect pairings. This is a pretty darn good one, I would think. I can't find any fault with it. You don't need a rocket arm to run his offense. You need accuracy, which he'll work on. And, you know, Savage I don't think is a terrible quarterback, but I think they're going to come in eyes wide open that they can replace him. And I think this is a really good fit.
Yeah, I think they need a quarterback. I mean, Tom Savage is still
they
Tom
have two
Savage
on the roster, and one's, what's his name, Whedon, you know, Brandon Whedon.
If Watson's there, it's a no-brainer.
It's just,
doubt.
You
no
yeah. can't pass I mean, it, on
absolutely
him.
Not.
And my problem with Watson, and I've talked about this a lot, it's not that I don't think he's good. It's that I just don't think he's ever going to be great. Like,
well, you said, like, who was the player saying is maxed out? I mean, I kind of feel like Deshaun Watson has a pretty defined ceiling, but I really, really like him.
Yeah,
you
he
know?
Can still be a very good player. Very good player. So he certainly better than anything the Texans have right now at the quarterback position. So I can understand it there. All right, moving on to Seattle and the Seahawks here. I'm going to keep a guy in the same city. I'm going to go with a corner that I like a lot, with a lot of length, 6'3", 200 pounds. Every time I watch Washington the last few years, Kevin King just – you want to trade up?
You stole my pick, and I'm really upset about it now. Now I have to go back and dig, and I – sorry. I'm sorry. I'm upset.
You should have done your homework. No, you could have made a move. And no, I think Kevin King – is going to be a really good player. I love the length. He tested great at the combine too. So I think any of the problems that people are picking on, you know, in press coverage of the line of scrimmage, things like that, I think that's technique that can be worked on. I don't think it's a physical limitation. So I'm going to go with Kevin King here. He goes from Washington right there in Seattle, gets an upgrade to the Seahawks, and gets to stay right where he is.
Yeah, that's what I was going to go with for Kansas City, who's picking next. If you look at his physical profile, one of the guys he tested most similar to is Philip Gaines, who is who he'd be replacing in Kansas City. So he clearly has the type of body and the type of just overall he's put together like the guys that they like.
So since I stole your pick,
I am going to go with a little bit of – I would trade down if I was Kansas City, just to be clear, if that guy's gone. Mm-hmm. But I'm going to go with Zach Cunningham from Vanderbilt.
Ooh.
It's a little bit of a reach, but I think a lot of people consider him the best off-ball linebacker, the best move linebacker outside of Reuben Foster in this draft. If you look at Kansas City's defense overall, I think that that's a spot they need. Derek Johnson's getting up there in age. Remick Wilson is a fine player, mm-hmm. but they have no problem taking a guy they think will have to sit back a little bit. You think about what D Ford was. So that's what I'm doing. I'm going to get a guy that can be your Derek Johnson replacement a couple years from now.
All right, Zach Cunningham. Probably earlier than most think, but I think he's a really good player, and I can't hate on that pick. So Kansas City Chiefs take Cunningham out of Vanderbilt. All right, so the Cowboys are up next at number 28, Adam Johns.
If I'm a member of the Jones family, I'm thinking we need to improve our defense. There's a lot of good things going offensively. You got the best offensive line in the game. You got arguably the best young running back in the game, an emerging quarterback. Still got Dez Bryant. Maybe tight end is an option here, but you could probably take advantage of the deep class of tight ends maybe later on. So I'm thinking pass rusher or cornerback. And I'm thinking tacos. It's going to be Thursday, Taco Thursday. Little Taco Charlton. Okay. You need someone off the edge. You need to improve that defense. You need them to hold up their side of the bargain if the offense is going to be rolling again like it did last year. So Taco Charlton, Michigan.
I mean, built like prototypical what you want in that defense. The issue with Charlton is the effort from, you know, time to time. Why wasn't his production more consistent? Those are the big questions. But Rod Marinelli will get the most out of him, right?
He likes length, too, especially that left defensive end spot. He loves guys that can stop the run. You think about what he did with Peppers. I mean, it makes a ton of sense. The physical profile makes sense.
All right, so our last pick now for every single one of us. We got four teams left, and we go to the team that knocked the Cowboys out of the playoffs. That's the Green Bay Packers.
I, you know, talking with Robert before we started here, you know, he spent a little time up in the hinterlands recently talking to the Watt clan, and it just almost seems too perfect for T.J. Watt to go to the Packers and grow his hair out like Matthews and just, you know, just whatever happens up there. You know, I think it makes a lot of sense. I'd love a DB. I'm not gonna get excited about a Dory Jackson or whoever. So, I gotta go T.J. Watt and think that Ted Thompson's gonna look at the measurables and say he's an ascending player. He's played like 1 year at his position. He'll get better, and like Matthews has some versatility, I like him a lot. I think he's a good fit.
Yeah, and speaking of stealing.
And read Robert's feature coming out on Thursday.
I'm excited about
that.
Please
do.
Yeah.
So I would have taken Watt to the Steelers if you hadn't taken him.
Ouch.
So he's off the board. Can't do that anymore. And I don't know that this is the greatest need for the Steelers, but David Joku's still available.
Oh, yeah.
And – you know, you can make an argument they need tight end in Pittsburgh. So, to me, that's just too good of a player that's left on the board, and I just got to go best player available right there for me. So, I'm going to go with David Joku.
I think they need another pass catcher. I agree with you.
Yeah.
I agree.
So, that's where I'm going to go right there with Pittsburgh, the talented, raw 20-year-old tight end out of Miami who certainly needs to work on his blocking, but just from a receiving standpoint, you can line him up anywhere and he'll make plays for you.
Oh, yeah.
Moving on to the Atlanta Falcons.
I'm going to do something that I think is probably a little bit shocking here. They need a secondary pass rusher. A lot of the guys we know about are off the board. If you look at the picks Atlanta has made, especially since Dan Quinn has gotten there, they love traits. They love them. They love big athletic guys. They don't mind you being a little undersized as long as you can move. Mm-hmm. Deion Jones. The pass rusher whose name I can't remember
Devondre
that gets all
Campbell.
The sacks.
Vic Beasley. Yeah.
Jordan Willis from Kansas State.
Perfect for them.
Tested out of this world. And it's not as if he's just a guy who tested well. His production at K-State was fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
Played for a number of years. And when you think about he's not maybe a run-stopping guy, they play Beasley on the left side. So he's going to be your right pass rusher in that scheme. And all you need is the guy who can get after people there. I just think he makes a ton of sense. I know people don't see him going that high, but no one dominated the combine quite like he did.
Yeah.
I wouldn't be shocked at all if he snuck in at the back half of the first
round. He crushed the interviews too. Like he's like Bill Snyder will, you know, like find a way to name the weight room after Jordan Willis. But, you know what I mean? Like, they love him at K-State, so he's that kind
of
kid, too.
And there has been a little bit of chatter of him sneaking into the first round.
Oh, absolutely. So top 50, sure.
I could see that happening. All right, closing things out, the former GM of the Chicago Bears, Adam Johns, with the New Orleans Saints. Now, he took over for Ryan Pace.
Yes, so maybe I should get together because I am in the back end of another first-round pick. My colleague, Robert, chose Derek Barnett earlier to address our pass rush. But with a 32nd pick, we're thinking ahead. We're thinking not just this year, but beyond Drew Brees. We're taking the best quarterback available now.
Wow.
A guy who's going to be a project, a guy who's going to need time, 1 or 2 years. Brees is the perfect role model. DeShone Kizer. Striking and taking quarterback.
So I could see this happening. If one of these quarterbacks falls to the second round, I do think it's going to be Kizer. But I've been very clear about this. I don't think any of these quarterbacks are ready to play in year one. I mean, not early. So you get the fifth-year option by drafting him in the first round. Mm-hmm. So that's where I think that needs to be taken into account with these quarterbacks, because if they're basically going to have to be a redshirt, and if you're New Orleans, he's obviously not playing. I mean, you got Drew Brees this year. So you get that fifth-year option, and so I could see another team trading up into the spot.
And for 2 years running, I've gone to the Senior Bowl, and people have been telling me that the Saints are eyeing their next quarterback.
Yeah, every year.
Yeah, right? Yeah. 2 years ago or 3 years ago was Jimmy Garoppolo. They're so high on Jimmy Garoppolo. He's going to be their replacement for Drew Brees. Eventually, those rumors are going to be true, or something's going to come to fruition, and this could be it. Drew Brees is not getting any younger. What is he, 38?
I'm not getting any younger.
Yeah, we're all getting old. I think I got 2 years older sitting in here with you guys. But
we got 2 years older waiting for you to get here.
Okay. Oh. Okay. Low blow at the end of the podcast.
There will be no show 89.
By the way, this is what we do every week. So,
better late than never.
Yeah, that's right.
If you watch that Texas tape, if you concede that every single one of these quarterbacks has their faults,
yeah,
and you're really digging into them and you want one, and you put that Texas tape on, you watch DeShone Kizer, I'd take him, man. I think if we're doing it all, and even if you look at what Watson did in the national championship game, I think that version of DeShone Kizer in that game is the best quarterback in this draft.
The play where Torrey Hunter's kid got smashed to smithereens.
It's one of the best throws I've seen from a college kid in a long
time. It might be the best throw I've seen watching any of these quarterbacks on tape this year. It was impressive. So, okay.
There are so many teams that are said to be planning for their next quarterback. And obviously, Mahomes was taken by the
right.
Cardinals. You got the Giants thinking the future. Big Ben, I know he announced he's coming back, but
KC. You had to think about that too.
Yeah,
I mean.
So if you're gonna move, why not move early? There's no guarantee who's gonna be there next year for you to pick.
So we made it through the first round, running a little bit long here, but I do want to ask you all one last question before we get out of here. Based on how this first round played out, kind of put you on the spot. Anyone can jump in. Where would you go if you're the Bears now? And obviously, there's gonna be a few more picks before we get to number 36, but based on what we still have on the board, which direction would you think about going in number 36?
I mean, look, I know it's not traditional thinking, but to me, John Ross still being there is crazy. If you feel at all comfortable at all with his knees, you know, and you feel like he's going to be able to play, to me, he fits in every NFL system, and he's going to be a returner. Will he play a long time? I don't know, but I happen to love him. I think he's a terrific receiver, and I know that's not exactly the kind of guy they go for, but that's going to be my answer because it's probably going to be different than yours. So,
well, I can go in. There's two guys I'm kind of eyeing. One is a receiver. One is a returner.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, Ross certainly kind of blends both of those into one guy. For me, the receiver I like more, and I feel like I'm on an island with this dude. I don't get it. But I can't find a flaw in Zay Jones's game.
He stinks. Oh, sorry, what? No, he's really good, yeah.
I mean, you saw him at the Senior Bowl. He the question was, can he run NFL routes and be any kind of vertical threat and go up and get the football? And he did that against very good players at the Senior Bowl. So I thought he answered those questions. The other guy I would consider is Adoree Jackson. So it hits on your cornerback need, and he's a returner, too, that can come in. He might need some time to develop as a corner, but I do think he has some good instincts and ball skills there that are good enough, even though he's small.
Yep.
I'd go with John Ross. I mean, if you're arguing against him, you could say that he's who's the kid in St. now in L.A., the smaller receiver that was at West Virginia, the guy they overdrafted.
Oh, Tavon, yeah.
Right. If you were arguing against him, you could say, well, he's like Tavon Austin. If you're arguing for him, he's DeSean Jackson. I mean, I think you could absolutely make that comparison. It makes sense to me. He's not just a fast guy. He's a complete receiver. And the Bears' receiving depth chart is pretty ugly, man.
Yeah, and you know who one scout compared him to I thought was – I hadn't heard it before, Santonio Holmes. And I was like, okay, you know, maybe Holmes didn't have incredible production, but he was always a threat, and he always affected the way you played him. I mean, he was such a good deep threat, you know.
That's an interesting comp. Yeah.
I have my thing I call the always open club, and it's guys like Keenan Allen, Odell Beckham. There's guys that just, no matter what, they're always open, and John Ross is always
open. I watched four games of Ross, and I counted 190 yards he should have gotten if Browning could have gotten the ball. Yeah. He just couldn't hit him. His arm was dead by that point, so it was unbelievable to watch him last year.
If I'm the Bears and it kind of shakes out this way, you're kind of concerned about those four quarterbacks kind of coming off the board, because I think you do want to grab one. I don't think you want to do it at three. You want to be patient with it. But now, if you're still thinking quarterback and you see a deep class of safeties, which you still need, still a lot of good corners out there,
Yeah. You
start maybe trying to think like they did with last year. You trade back a little bit in the first round, or in the second round, where there's some good value, where Nate Peterman starts making more sense around pick 50 instead of pick 36 and stuff like that. Or you can add a Buda Baker a bit later. So there's a lot of options still on the board. But just keeping the quarterback position in mind, because I know the Bears, I think ideally they would like to add a young one to the mix. I don't know if 36 at this point is the correct place to do it.
Yeah, I think if Kaiser were to fall out of the first, then you go and do that. Or if, you know, for some reason Watson or Mahomes did, then you do that. But yeah, I think – I like your thinking there. If all four go before number 36, then and you're still trying to eye that, then you try to trade back a little bit.
As a Bears fan, if Kaiser's there at 36, I'd
leap.
I would do backflips. Yeah. I would be thrilled.
Yeah. Well, thanks for coming in, guys. I appreciate it.
Yeah. Sorry we took a little more of your time than you probably thought.
Oh, that's my fault.
Yeah, no. We're
I didn't want to throw the host.
No. Hey, look, 32 picks. We did a good job. We got through them, and that's the name of the game. Just try to simulate how this could possibly play out, and it certainly won't play out the same way on Thursday night. But I think if you start doing a mock draft like this, and it starts to look a lot different than if any of us just sat down and did our own.
Sure.
Because, you know, we start taking each other's picks and going in different directions, and that's how it plays out on draft night. It's even more extreme than it did here, because you factor in trades, and there are a ton of trades that happen on draft night, and we're going to see some surprises. I think I just had this feeling that Thursday night's going to be wild. Yeah. I think the fact that we don't really know what's even going to happen at 1 and 2, we have a good idea at 1, but there's still like
two,
this
three,
possibility for a curveball, and no one really knows what the 49ers are going to do. I think it's going to be crazy.
Mm-hmm.
By this point last year, we knew.
Right.
I mean, we knew it was going to happen. There was no uncertainty whatsoever, and this year is the exact opposite. I'm also going to be bitter at you about the Kevin King thing for at least 2 weeks.
Fair enough. All right, this was episode 88 of Hogan Johns. Appreciate Robert Mays and Eric Edholm coming in. You can read their stuff. Eric's stuff is at Yahoo Sports, and Robert Mays at The Ringer. And you got a huge Watt feature coming up, huh?
Huge is – I don't want to pop it up too much. Okay. There's a Watt story in the works.
Okay.
Yeah. I don't want to oversell it to the people.
We'll keep expectations low, but I'm excited to read it. All right. Follow us on Twitter at Adam Hogue, H-O-G-E, at Adam Johns, J-A-H-N-S. Real quick, give us your Twitter handles. I just want to make sure
Eric with a C _ at home.
I'm at Robert Mays, M-A-Y-S.
All right. Read us at WGNRadio.com/BearsChicagoSunTimes.com. Plenty of draft coverage all week long. Please subscribe to the podcast if you haven't already on iTunes. Search for it, Hogan Johns. Please rate and review it. You can also find it on the TuneIn app, the WGN Radio app, any of your favorite podcast apps. We'll be back Wednesday. Ryan Pace talks at Hallis Hall. We'll get you another pre-draft podcast later in the week. Talk to you then.